Our scripture reading this evening is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and reading verses 1 to 13. And this evening we're going to be considering the subject of the keys of the kingdom that speak to us about the preaching of God's word and also Christian discipline. And so this is a passage that speaks about discipline being exercised in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul writes to the church in Corinth, "It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. And you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I indeed, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have already judged, as though I were present, him who has done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. For what have I to do with judging those also who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person." And then reading also from the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 31. Find that on page 42 and 43. What are the keys of the kingdom? The preaching of the holy gospel and Christian discipline toward repentance. Both preaching and discipline open the kingdom of heaven to believers and close it to unbelievers. How does preaching the gospel open and close the kingdom of heaven? According to the command of Christ, the kingdom of heaven is opened by proclaiming and publicly declaring to each and every believer that so as often as he accepts the gospel promise in true faith, God, because of what Christ has done, truly forgives all his sins. The kingdom of heaven is closed, however, by proclaiming and publicly declaring to unbelievers and hypocrites that as long as they do not repent, the anger of God and eternal condemnation rest on them. God's judgment, both in this life and in the life to come, is based on the gospel testimony. How is the kingdom of heaven closed and opened by Christian discipline? According to the command of Christ, if anyone, though called a Christian, professes unchristian teachings or lives an unchristian life, if after repeated brotherly counsel he refuses to abandon his errors and wickedness, and if after being reported to the church, that is to its officers, he fails to respond also to their admonition, such a one the officers exclude from the Christian fellowship by withholding the sacraments from him, and God himself excludes him from the kingdom of Christ. Such a person, when he promises and demonstrates genuine reform, is received again as a member of Christ and of his church. The people of God, doors are very important, and hence keys that open and close them are also important. At times they serve to protect us, so we all have doors in our houses, and we make sure that when we leave, we shut the doors, and at night when we're inside, we shut the doors. Not only shut them, but we lock them. Why? Well, because people, sad to say in our world, break in and take our stuff and inflict a damage upon us. So we keep our doors locked for that reason. But there are also doors that we open and we receive people in. And those places then can be havens of blessing to us when they are opened and we are received into those places. And we have many doors, of course, in the Bible that exemplify that. I mean, for example, we have the door to the Garden of Eden. I mean, here was a wonderful place. And at first, of course, Adam and Eve were in the garden. They had the blessing of being able to enter and remain there. But when they sinned, they were put out of the garden and they couldn't get back in. I mean, it wasn't that the door was locked in the sense that they didn't have a key, right? Physical key. But they couldn't get back in because the door was shut. It was shut by angels. Angels stood there with swords, and they could turn any which way. So there was no getting past them. So here was a lock that was in terms of angelic form. They couldn't get in. And what a sad, sad state of affairs that was for them. We also, of course, have the door in terms of Noah's Ark. I mean, here was a door that was open for a long, long time. I mean, Noah preached and preached and preached, calling people, warning people about God's judgment, and they wouldn't listen. They just stood there mocking him. But one day that door shut, and it started to rain, started to flood. But God shut the door. And that door was not opened for anyone other than the people that went in, which was Noah and his family, his children, and their wives. We also have a door to the Holy of Holies. In this case, there was a heavy curtain. And people couldn't just go in to the Holy of Holies, otherwise they would, just like the Garden of Eden, they would be destroyed.
But God promised a way into the Holy of Holies.
And that way, of course, as we know, the scriptures make that very clear by connecting two events. Connecting the death of the Lord Jesus Christ as he committed his spirit to his Father at the end of his suffering on the cross. And the tearing of the curtain, this heavy curtain, from top to bottom. It opened up the way. So Christ, by his death, opened up the way for us into the Holy of Holies. Into, that is, into God's presence, into God's fellowship. And so the Catechism is reminding us of the importance of these doors, doors to the kingdom of heaven, and how it is that they are opened, and how it is that we are to enter, and how it is for the church in certain situations to exclude people from the kingdom. That's an authority and responsibility that God has given to the church. It's not individual, it's not in our individual power to decide we're going to enter or we're not going to enter. No. It's done officially through the means of the elders of the church. And so Jesus told Peter that to him he gave the keys of the kingdom. And he said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. People have difficulty with that. They think, why should somebody else have this authority? Nobody should have that authority. That should be some personal act on our part. And no, it's not. It's not. We are given these keys, and they are to be exercised, and they are to be exercised by the elders of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we look at the application then of the keys of the kingdom, first of all, in terms of what are they? Their identity. So when we talk about keys, of course, we're not speaking about literal keys that we carry. I'll put the mine in the back so I don't have them to show you. Not literal keys that we have, right? And besides, not all doors open with those kinds of keys anyway. There's all kinds of sophisticated ways that doors open now, right? Just as cars, right? I mean, some cars you don't even have to get the key out. Just by walking close to it with the key in your pocket, the door is open. So it's not literally the keys that we're focused on. It's the means by which doors are opened. That's what we mean by the keys. And so the scriptures tell us that, and the catechism tells us, that this wonderful place called the kingdom of God that was pictured for us in the Garden of Eden, that now we see in visual form in terms of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is a place that has doors that can open and let you in, and it has doors that shut to let you out or not let you in. This kingdom is a wonderful place. It's not like the kingdoms of this world. There's no wickedness in this kingdom. It's a kingdom of light and life. The Lord Jesus Christ reigns over this kingdom. We're not left to the whims of people. We're not left to the majority to decide what goes on and what we can and what we cannot do. No, it's governed by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a kingdom that when Queen Bathsheba came and saw it in its imperfect form in the days of Solomon, was so impressed. I mean, she said, it's better than all the ways that I've heard it expressed. It's much better than that. In fact, she put it that the servants, even in that kingdom, were blessed to be there.
I mean, it was the peace and the environment and the circumstances so wonderful. Just to be in the kingdom was to be something to be envied. In fact, the psalmist puts it that way, doesn't he? He'd rather be a doorkeeper in the kingdom of God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. That's how wonderful this kingdom is. It's a kingdom that brings to us eternal life. It's a kingdom in which, just like Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden, that brings us into fellowship with God. We live at peace with God. We live under His love and His providence. It's a wonderful place to be. Not the kingdoms of this world. That right from the beginning to now and into the future simply bring us misery and suffering and oppression. No country can claim that they know how to best run the world. Many nations have tried. I mean, many kingdoms have risen in history, but they've all been oppressive. They've all brought misery to those people that were under them. I mean, the one kingdom, of course, as I say, that pictured and in a geographical way the kingdom of God was the Old Testament people. And they showed love and they showed compassion. But of course their kings were imperfect and they ended up abusing other people too. But that's the kingdom that the Lord Jesus Christ established. And that's why when he came to this earth and he was beginning his ministry, that's why John speaks. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the Lord Jesus Christ established his kingdom. And he said very clearly, my kingdom is not of this world. It is in this world. It is in this world. But it's not of this world. It's not of the type of kingdoms of this world. So here's this wonderful kingdom. And the good news for us is that there are doors to this kingdom. It's not closed. I mean, there are some societies you and I can never be part of. However hard we try, we just can't. I mean, there are wonderful places on this earth. I mean, they're, you know, basically gated communities. You can't get in, I can't get in. But this kingdom that far surpasses anything this world has, whether it's a billionaire's club and they have this wonderful city where they live and they have all the wonderful modern conveniences, I'm telling you, nothing compares to this wonderful kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it has gates. And those gates can be opened. And the church has been given the keys with which to open those gates. And the keys, we are told, are the preaching of the gospel and Christian discipline. So the gates to this kingdom open and close. Every time the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is preached, the doors are open. Every time you come to the church and the gospel is preached, the door is open. There's no angel standing there with swords. There's no lions there that won't let you go by. The doors are open. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, says the Lord Jesus Christ. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am lowly and meek at heart, and you will have rest for your soul. All that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Those are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow me, he said. He never says, get out of here, I'm not interested in you. We're never told to say that. But he says, follow me. So every time when you come to church, when you avail yourself of the means of grace, it's an opportunity to enter the kingdom of God. Every time the Lord Jesus Christ spoke and preached,
The doors of God's kingdom were open. And that's why he castigated the Pharisees. He says, you stand outside of the door, but you never enter in. You stand there, hearing me preach, hearing the doors open, and all you do is criticize. All that you do is try and find ways that you can trap me, but you don't listen to what I'm saying. The doors are open, and you're standing idly by, and you don't enter. In fact, he says, you are shamed because even the prostitutes are hearing it. And they enter. They look at the door and they enter. But you just stand outside criticizing and making one argument after another. But you never take a step to enter. In fact, he says, you hinder others. You try and stop others from entering too. So we need to take seriously this fact that preaching the gospel is a means by which the kingdom of God is opened. And so we have to ask ourselves, what do I do when that happens? Do I listen? Do I heed the call to enter the kingdom of heaven? Or do I reject it? Does it just fall on deaf ears, as it were? No, we need to enter. And we need to be thankful that in our lives, God gives us so many opportunities where the kingdom of heaven, the doors, are opened to us. And we are called to enter. And I trust that you've heard me say often that you need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you need to trust in him and his sacrifice on the cross, and your sins will be forgiven. You become a child of God. You become part and parcel of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will no longer be treated as aliens and strangers, which you are when you're outside of the kingdom. But rather, you will be brought near by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be called the children of God. At no cost. I mean, there's no membership fee in this kingdom. It's free of charge. And so people ridicule the church. They ridicule preachers as though they are irrelevant and they don't really matter in our lives. And little do they know that these people, servants of God and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, are the portals, the doorways into the kingdom of God. I mean, they're interested in all these science fiction portals of going to wormholes and going to one planet to another. I mean, just fantasy. Here it is. We have portals to eternal life. And they don't take it seriously. No wonder the scriptures teach, as I said this morning, how wonderful are the feet of those that bring good news, those that preach the gospel. How precious these people are to us, how much they are needed by this world. Because this world, I'm telling you, needs an escape from this world. It's a world of sin. It's a world of misery. It's a world of death. There is no solutions in this world for the real needs and the problems that we have. They don't have a clue. They don't even know the dangers that they're in. And it's like, as they say, it's like arranging the chairs on the Titanic. They're going down and they don't even know it. And even if they did know it, they have no avenues to escape. And yet the very people that preach the gospel, the very people that call them to escape, as Noah did, they ridicule, just like they did in the days of Noah. But let us not fall into that category. Let us see how precious these times are. But not only do we have the keys in terms of preaching of the gospel, but also Christian discipline. And we say, well, how? You know, how is that opening up the doors? Well, people come in to the kingdom of God But it's not always the case that they are genuine believers. So people enter in when really they shouldn't be allowed in. But we don't know. I mean, as human beings, as elders, we can only make judgment based on the questions that we ask and the answers that they give and the kind of life, general kind of life that they live. We can't crawl into their hearts. We can't crawl into their minds. And so we permit them to enter the kingdom on a, what we say, a credible profession of faith. And so they can enter. But sad to say, as I said, many of them are not real believers. I mean, John spoke about the fact that many have left, many antichrists have gone into the world from the church. And he said, if they were part of us, they would have stayed, but they weren't. They weren't. And they left. You see, people come into the church for all kinds of different reasons. They like the society, like nice people, and so they join. But when push comes to shove, and when they start hearing the word of God, and God's word demanding of them repentance and a holy lifestyle, and they don't happen to agree with those things, well, then they either ignore the church, and sad to say, there are many churches that would do nothing about that, and so they continue in the church. But there are other churches that say, hey, no, you made a profession of faith. You believed that the Bible was the word of God, and now you're not living according to it. We know you're not perfect, neither are we perfect. But when we sin, we do repent, we do acknowledge what we've done is wrong, and we ask God's forgiveness. But you're not even asking for forgiveness. You're saying it's okay to live like that and do those things. And that cannot be. And so we call you to repent. And so in those cases, when we call people to account, to live by the word of God, not to be perfect, you understand. The elders don't go around saying, hey, you haven't been perfect this week, we're going to put you under discipline. Otherwise, we'd all be under discipline every week. That's not the point. The point is that we repent of our sins, and we don't openly disobey the word of God and boast about it in terms of saying, oh, it's okay, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to change my life. I mean, sad to say that I've had that. I mean, you go to people, they're living with someone, and you say, hey, what are you doing? This is against God's word. They don't want to change. And so after a while, you have to exclude them. So even though we might be in the kingdom of heaven, we may even be members of the church, the professing members, understand that the doors of the kingdom can also be opened again, and you can be escorted out, excluded, excommunicated. Why? Not because the church doesn't want you to be a member, because you don't want to be a member. Because you would rather love your sin than confess your sin before God and receive forgiveness. You don't even want to repent. You don't want to change your ways. You say, this is the way I want to live, and that's it. Well, in that case, understand, take the warning that the door through which you came will be opened, and you will be escorted out of the kingdom of heaven. And that's a very somber act, and that's a very difficult and painful act for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But nevertheless, we have to do it, because even as we read this evening, in 1 Corinthians 5, Paul is writing to the church and saying, what are you people doing? You ought to be exercising the keys of the kingdom. You're making a laughing stock over the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even the Gentiles are looking at you and ridiculing you. Why? Because look at the things that you allow to go unchallenged. A man has his father's wife. I mean, it ought to make all of you hang your heads in shame. But you're puffed up. You're proud. You're saying, oh, we can tolerate that. It doesn't matter. See how wonderful and holy we are. It doesn't disturb us. I mean, Paul is just livid. He said, I've already cast him out. In my spirit, I've already cast him out. In other words, my vote has already been cast. He ought to be put out of the church. So when we're in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought not to have this attitude that now I'm in, I've got security. I've got this insurance policy now. I'm going to be in heaven. And it doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter how I live. It's all taken care of. Think again. Think again. When God calls you into his kingdom, he calls you to holiness. Not to sin. Not to wickedness. To holiness. And as I say, it's not that he demands that you be perfect. In the end, of course, God will complete that work. But in this life, we're going to struggle with that. God understands that. That's why we say every Sunday morning when we read the law, that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But when we don't even want that and we don't think we need that, and yet we live a wicked life, well, then we're in deep, deep trouble. Then we become candidates that the elders will escort officially out of the kingdom of heaven. So we need to respect both sets of keys. We need to take note of when the gospel is preached and take note that the kingdom of heaven is open and we can enter. And when we're in, we need to take note that there is a key called Christian discipline that will open the door and we will be escorted out. And so those keys are the keys that need to be implemented in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those keys then, when, for example, when we preach, the door is open to some people and closed to others. And you may say, well, that's kind of discriminatory. You're only opening it to certain people and closing it to others. Well, yes, that's true. When I preach the gospel, I don't say everybody is welcome to enter and you can come just as you are. Nothing, you don't have to do anything. Just, you know, walk on by. No. There's always a condition. But the condition isn't something that you have to earn. The condition isn't something that you have to meet in and of yourself. Because that is simply faith. We say, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, and you can enter. You are brought near by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, not by your blood. So to enter the kingdom of God, when the doors are open, they're open to only those that repent of their sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not open to everyone that's associated with us. And we don't come in as families into the kingdom of God. I mean, certainly our children are brought in, of course. But in time, they have to make profession of faith. I mean, they're given this privilege to be inside the kingdom without necessarily believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, without necessarily having faith. But they can't remain forever and a day without making profession of faith. So when the doors are opened, you can only enter by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if somebody is here and you know, and we preach the gospel and they say to us, oh, you know, I really like the people. The people are really lovely and you know, welcoming. I really want to be part of this group. And then we say, well, you know, that's not the most important thing. That's not the central issue that we have to offer. It's the gospel. It's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the forgiveness of your sins. And then they kind of about that, right? I mean, no, no. I just want to be part of the community. No. No. They will not be allowed to join the church of the Lord Jesus Christ if that's the only concern that they have. And so we would talk to them, and the elders would meet with them, and we would interview them. And that's what we're trying to establish as best we can. Do they understand the gospel? Do they believe the gospel? And do they live the gospel? And so, you know, if they say, well, you know, I do believe the Bible, I do believe in Jesus Christ, but I'm living with somebody and, you know, I don't want to give that up. Well, then no, you're not going to become a member. I mean, it's not that you become a member because you gave something up. No. Because by you living that lifestyle and not recognizing it as sin shows that you don't really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ at all. You don't trust in Him. You don't trust His Word. So though the kingdom of heaven is open, the door is open, it's only open to those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, the door to the ark was open, but only to those that believed Noah's preaching. And nobody did, other than his family. And only they entered. So it is shut to other people. Even though the gospel is being preached, even though the door is open, it is at the same time shut to those that do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, it's the gospel that makes the way open for you or closes the way. And so the Lord Jesus Christ says in the parable of the sower, the seed is sown, the kingdom of God is laid open for people to enter, but the ground will not receive the seed. And so nothing comes up. So when the kingdom of God is preached in terms of the gospel, you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility. You leave that door shut to you when you close your heart to the gospel. But when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then there is that wonderful welcome to you to enter into the kingdom and to be at peace with God and to be at peace with God's people and to be one with them as citizens of God's kingdom, with no difference between you and anybody else in God's kingdom. You are not any less than anybody else, nor are you any greater than anybody else. Whether you are an executive in a very prestigious firm, joining our church doesn't put you at the top of the list. Or whether you have nothing and you come into the church, it doesn't put you at the bottom of the list. No, we are joint heirs of the kingdom of heaven. It belongs to each and every one that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, don't fritter away the opportunity. Today is the day of salvation. Don't close your heart and ears to the gospel. Because, you know, the doors may never open again. I mean, there's no guarantee that you are going to be in a place where the doors are open to you. I mean, tomorrow is not guaranteed to any of us. So when the doors are open, that's a real privilege that people have. And so we ought not to waste them. When we hear God's call, we ought to repent and we ought to call upon Him for the forgiveness of our sins. But as I've said, the keys are also exercised in terms of discipline. And so you may be in the church, and you may come to a time when you change your beliefs. And what the Bible says, you end up disagreeing with. And so you don't agree with what the Bible is saying. And you don't think it's fair or something. And then you start voicing that disagreement with the Bible, and then you start arguing with other people about it. Or you may begin living in a way that is contrary to the Scriptures. And you may think, you know, I think this is only fair. I, like nowadays, I think people think may think, oh, I think it's fair that, you know, homosexuals be allowed to marry as well, and they be treated equal as everyone else. Or we may think that homosexual lifestyle, there's nothing wrong with that. Well, then you need to expect that the kingdom of heaven, its doors are going to be open again. And you're going to be asked to leave. In fact, excluded. And you may think it's unfair, but I'm giving you an example here. Here it is. And you may say, well, that's different. Well, why is that different? It establishes the fact that God, through his servants, gives them the authority to exclude people. That's why Jesus made that tremendous statement to Peter. To you I give the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. So people ought not to look down on the acts of the local church and think, huh, what does it matter? If they kick me out, I'll just go and join the church down the road. People have that attitude. And as I've said before, whatever deviant lifestyle you want to live, I think I could find you a church that will accept that. I mean, that's the spectrum of the churches that we have in this, in our country. I could find you a church that would say, okay. So, but we have to understand the kingdom of God is one kingdom. In the end, you have to deal with the same God. And simply because you go to some other church and they receive you doesn't mean that you've entered into the kingdom of God. Because if that one church has been faithful in exercising discipline and excluded you, you are excluded from the kingdom of God. You are excluded from heaven itself. Whatever is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. And there's nothing that any man can do to change that. So you have to take seriously the church. And it's not that the church has power in and of itself, and elders wield that power. No, we do it because God commands us to do it. I mean, look at Paul. He's livid for them not exercising the keys of the kingdom. In fact, he says, how can you celebrate the Lord's Supper in that condition? When you're tolerating this, you're polluting everything. You're polluting everything. In fact, the last Lord's Day that we read, remember it says that we bring down upon ourselves the wrath of God against us. It says, are those to be admitted to the Lord's Supper who show by what they say and do that they are unbelieving and ungodly? Talking about these people. It says, no, that would dishonor God's covenant and bring down God's anger upon the entire congregation. And the Corinthians knew that firsthand. Because many of them were sick and some had died because they had polluted the celebration of the Lord's Supper and tolerated these kinds of people. So we are duty bound. And notice how discipline is connected to the Lord's Supper. You cannot celebrate the Lord's Supper with these people. You have to cut out this leaven. And so that's why in our Reformed churches, the very first step in terms of discipline is excluding such a person from the Lord's Supper. So if somebody's put under church discipline, the very first step, even silent censure, in which case nobody knows about it, just the elders and that person, they are not allowed to come to the Lord's Supper. That's the immediate impact of when somebody's put under discipline. And that's a very serious job. You may think, oh, it's exclusion from the kingdom down the road. Yes, it is. But this is a serious one. They're not allowed to come to the Lord's Supper. That's a very, very serious step that the church takes. And so we take it
not lightly, and we do not move to it hastily, but we do take it. So if you're in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's wonderful. And we want that to continue. But you have to take seriously the Christian life. You have to take seriously that you belong to God's covenant. And there's a way that you ought to live according to the Scriptures. And though you're not going to be perfect, no, God has provided grace. He will forgive you your sins. As you confess your sins before Him, He will forgive you. And you will remain in the kingdom. He will keep you in the kingdom. But once you become stubborn, once you cast aside His word, once you don't care about what He says, then your days are numbered. And then the door is going to be opened. And you're going to be excluded. People of God, this kingdom doesn't need you. And it doesn't need me. It's a privilege for us to be in this kingdom. And we've been brought in by nothing that you have done and nothing that I have done. It's been given to us by grace. And we've received it not by doing works, not by earning it. We've received it simply by faith, believing, accepting with a grateful heart. When God has brought you in at such expense, and He surrounds you with His love and grace day by day, when He provides for everything that we need, as He did for Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, then how obnoxious is it for us to turn around and spit in His face, as it were, and say, we don't care what your word says. We're going to live this way. Then we've only brought it upon ourselves. And though it brings great sadness and sorrow to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, nevertheless, for His glory, for the well-being of the congregation, then that door is going to be opened and you are going to be excluded. But always with that proviso, that if you repent, as the Catechism says, if you show genuine reform, genuine repentance, even after you have been excluded, even after you have insulted God's word and God's people, the door will be opened. And so you're encouraged to repent. You're encouraged to come to the Lord and ask for forgiveness and repentance, and He will receive you. When you sin, you ought not to run away from the church. I mean, some people do that. They commit a sin, and now they're so ashamed of what they've done, they run away from the church. They disappear. It happens. Girls get pregnant, and that's the last you see of them. No, there's forgiveness where there's repentance. And so we've had it in our ministry where those things have happened. We've had it where people have just left. But on the other hand, we've had people that stayed and genuinely repented. And the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ embraced them in faith, and they've continued in their Christian journey, sustained by God's forgiving grace. So people of God, enter the kingdom of heaven, because in this church the doors are opened repeatedly and you're called to enter. Take heed. But if you're in, then walk before Him and be blameless. And when we do fall, let's cry out to Him for repentance and faith. And let us be thankful that God has placed over us those to whom He has given responsibility, not looking at us, looking for the first opportunity they can pounce on us and get us out. No, no, no. But those that care for us and love us and will come alongside us and guide us and warn us and repeatedly call us back to repentance so they don't have to open those doors. But make no mistake, when we go against God, the time will come that the door will be open and you will be asked to leave. But by God's grace, we pray that each and every one of us not only may enter God's kingdom,
but may we remain in God's kingdom and continue to know His grace and continue to know His love day by day. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank You for the fact that You have opened the gates of Your wonderful kingdom to us sinners, rebels, that cast aside Your law, that ridiculed the Lord Jesus Christ and indeed crucified the Lord of glory. And yet You've opened Your doors to us. And our Father in heaven, we are eternally grateful and thankful. And we so cherish our part in Your body and in Your church. And our Father in heaven, we pray that You would keep us and guard us by Your grace and by Your Spirit. And we're thankful that You put us in churches where we have fellowship with Your people, where we care and love one another, where we are willing and ready to call one another in regards to the things that we say and do, and especially when they endanger our souls. And we're thankful that You place officers over us that watch over our souls. And our Father in heaven, we pray that we might heed their counsel when we go astray, when we become delinquent in life or in doctrine. And our Father in heaven, we pray that You would give us the grace to humble ourselves before You and submit ourselves willingly and gladly to the authority that You give to them over us, so that by such means we may be nurtured, that we may be protected, that we may grow in grace, and Lord, that we may continue to enjoy life under Your wonderful reign. Our Father in heaven, we pray that You would bless us for the remainder of this Sabbath and in this week. We pray that You would use us, that You would bless us for Your honor and for Your glory. Amen.